Okay. Well, happy Mother's Day. We are going to be talking about honoring mothers biblically today. And we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And I say this as I start out. 30 years of preaching, and I have probably got in the most trouble and had the most hurt feelings when it centers around Mother's Day sermons, okay? Now, it may be because I'm preaching them wrong, so that's partly my fault. But why do you think it is that I think that I would be safe in saying this, that today is a very emotionally charged day a lot of times for some mothers. Help me out here this morning, because you know what I'm talking about. I've got a friend, and every year he's got two sons that are in their 40s, probably in their 40s now, and he has to make sure that they are doing something on Mother's Day. I mean, he will start the week before and start calling them and sending texts and prompting them. You know, Sunday's Mother's Day. Make sure you do something on Mother's Day, because he doesn't want his wife to be disappointed. I had another friend that one time said, you know, it's not my responsibility to do anything for my wife for Mother's Day. She's not my mom. And sadly, he was killed after that by a frying pan. That was a I miss him. Why do you think that it's kind of that way? Why is Mother's Day kind of just that kind of day? Does anybody kind of have a clue? Why? Mothers, help me out here. What do you think that is?
Expectations.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. Expectations. You have all these expectations of what you think Mother's Day is going to look like. And then it doesn't happen. But why is there expectations? Because probably, and I'm not a mother, I don't claim to be one, but you think, you know, I have put my time in for the last 12 months or the last 20 years, and it would be nice if I got this recognition or this type of honor or something at least, instead of, you know, your kids running down to the gas station getting you some jerky or something like that and going, Happy Mother's Day. And I think that, as I've watched this, I think that there is really, I would call it a mother's guilt out there. And so a lot of times they're carrying this around that they're just not a good enough mother. And then when it comes to the Sunday service, I've seen this in the past, you've got mothers who will hear this Proverbs 31 message, and they're saying, this is what it is to be the ultimate biblical woman. And then they feel like, and I've had mothers tell me this, I know I'll never reach that expectation. I just never will. I think the other one is because the relationship that is between a mother and a child is so absolutely powerful. It's a powerful relationship. And when there is a broken relationship there, or that you have a mother who hasn't been a very good mother over your lifetime, there is a lot of hurt there. And it could be that people, you know, struggle with this day because they have had a mother that's passed on. So there's a lot of emotions that go into Mother's Day. And so I kind of want to start on the lighter side. I saw this picture. There is a young girl, and she's fishing for a compliment here, and she said, Mom, what is it like to have the greatest daughter in the world? And her mom responds by saying, I don't know, dear. You're going to have to ask Grandma. Is that not coming through? It's not clicking. Can you help her out? That picture is up there. You'll see in just a second. But did you get it? Okay, there it is there. Yeah. I want to talk about some facts of life. When it comes to Mother's Day, we all have a mark that reminds us of the fact that we just didn't show up one day. What is that mark? Mark on your body. And it's not the panther tattoo that you have. No, it's not that. What is it? Your belly button. That's right. Everybody here is connected to a mother in some way, shape, or form. And these are the facts of life. Each of you has been affected by motherhood in one way or another, whether it's good or bad. Everyone here has either has a mother, had a mother, is a mother, is married to a mother, or at least you know a mother. Everybody here is affected by motherhood. And that is another reason why I think that it surrounds this day, the emotions involved with it, because everybody is affected by it. Another fact of life is that these are tough days, I would say, for being a mother. Really, when it comes down to it, who's teaching the younger Christian women of today? And who's shaping family values? I mentioned it last week, I believe, when I was talking about mothers that we have experienced over the years of ministry. And as I said, that we have had a lot of young mothers who have just left their families. They have got to the point where they, and we talked about the midlife episode last week, where they get to a point in their 30s and 40s and they've got a pack of kids and a husband and they don't feel like that they're happy or fulfilled. And they decide one day that they are just going to get up and leave. And when I say leave, they just leave. They don't even take very many clothes. They don't want the house. They just take the vehicle and that's it. And they just don't come back. It's a hard day for mothers. And I think it's because versus 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you've got a lot of mothers that are working outside of the home. It takes two incomes anymore to make a family run just because of the price of everything. So they've got that added stress. I would say social media has not helped motherhood out in any way because, as I said before and last week, that you've got these women who get on social media and then Facebook or whatever that is, and they are looking at these other women who seem to have these fulfilled lives, and some of them don't have families, and so they think to themselves, if I didn't have these kids and this guy here, then my life would be complete or happier. Or they'll look at social media and think, you know, I just don't stack up compared to this mother. And they, of course, are seeing all the highlights of this woman and her motherhood. And the other thing is with feminism, it's just really not cool to be a mother. If you are a mother and if you are a stay-at-home mother, that's just not something that, you know, feminism respects. And so mothers see that, they feel that, it's in the media, it's on television, all these different things that they're watching. And then, as I said, that they don't have a good role model. They just don't have other women there to come alongside them and mentor them. And I'm probably going to get myself in trouble on Mother's Day by saying this, but I have seen it over my lifetime that, and I think that you would agree, that there seems to be every generation, mothers are kind of, it's a change. They're kind of losing something from the previous generation. I'm not picking on any mothers here, but you know this to be true as far as how that they run their household. It just starts to change a little bit, and things aren't as tight as ship, I would say, as the previous generation. If you would go back and talk about, you know, your great-grandmother, I think of my great-grandmother and the way that she ran things. And it was a little bit overboard, but she was a woman that was born in the late 1800s. She was an adult in the 1920s and 30s. And when I look back at it, she ran things sharp. I mean, she got up every day at the crack of dawn. She was making breakfast. She was cleaning the house. She was doing things. I mean, she got on a dress every day and, she did her hair and she just did things a certain way. And she expected my brother and I, because she raised us for a big chunk of our lives, to be in that same kind of category. You know, you did certain things. You had to, you were expected. It was a high standard. And so then you've got like my grandmother who, you know, she was in still that kind of generation. You get things done, but it was a little bit less. And then my grandmother had my mother, and that's just not a good example. But, you know, all that went out the window because my mother was kind of that hippie generation and that she was very strong into feminism, even though that wasn't what she would call it. It was the mindset of that it's about me and what I do, and I'm not somebody that's going to stay at home and take care of kids and that kind of thinking. So it's a tough day for being a mother. Another fact of life when it comes to mothers is that there's this common misconception that is simply having children makes one a mother. And that is not true. You know, this picture up here, I had to laugh about it. It said, I almost lost my kids once. I guess I didn't take them far enough into the woods. It is crazy as believing that having a piano makes one a musician. And there are some of those women out there that claim to be mothers. They're not mothers. They've had children, but they are not mothers. Another fact is, and leading into this, that there are some really bad mothers in the world. Because what qualifies a woman to be called a mother? A mother is not just a person who gives life. So what is a mother? Mothering means giving quality and value to the continuation of life. That is what a true mother is. So a mother is somebody who's going to invest her life into another human being. And in doing that, of course, mothers here know there is a lot of sacrifice that goes with that. And so that leads into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And you've got Paul speaking to a group of Christians here, and he says, I want to get this point across to you. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he goes on to say, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Paul says to these groups of Christians, you need to honor your father and mother. And even 2,000 years ago, in a completely different culture on the other side of the planet, the people that were hearing this, I'm sure there were some that were sitting out there that were thinking, I'm supposed to honor my mother when it's like, you don't know who my mother is. She's not a very good person. She hasn't been a mother to me. And you're telling me to honor her. She's a bad mother. Because the human heart 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet isn't any different than we are in our culture today. Yes, it was completely different time. But, you know, that's why you can read through the Pauline epistles and talking about the church, and the same problems that were going on 2,000 years ago in the church are going on today. The human heart isn't any different. And so there was mothers there that were probably not very good mothers. And yet they have to hear honor. I'm supposed to honor her. Because what does honor mean? Biblically, it means to ascribe worth, value, to prize, appreciate, respect, to see as weighty and precious. It's like a diamond. If you have a diamond, it is something very valuable. And if you take it to a jewelry shop and show it to somebody else, they can look at it through their little glass, magnifying glass they have there, and they'll say, oh, this is a very good diamond. This is worth something. And diamonds are precious because why? Because there's not many of them out there. And so when you have something of value, you honor it. It says this in Proverbs 31, and I hate to go to the Proverbs 31 passage because mothers always feel like, oh, here we go. But it says this in Proverbs 31. You've got Solomon who is writing this. And of course, last week we talked about this, that he was the wisest man that ever lived. He's giving this information on to another generation. And he says this in Proverbs 31. He says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also. And he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Solomon is saying here, you know what? If you find a good woman, you need to hold on to her. Because he said, she can be a very good looking woman, very beautiful at a young age, but that doesn't last. I was mentoring a young man years ago, and he was considering marrying this woman. And she was a very, very beautiful young woman. But I will say she had not very good character. That's a nice way to put it. And I said to him, I wouldn't advise that, because you're looking long-term here for a wife. And he said, I'm going to go ahead and marry her because I'm not going to find anybody as beautiful as her. And if you're building your marriage on somebody's looks, as I said last week, looks are fading because there's a thing called gravity and age, and it will just happen like overnight. And it didn't go so well for him because he chose this woman over beauty, not character. And you've got Solomon who's writing Proverbs, and he's saying, guys, listen to me. You need to choose a woman like this. This is a woman who'll do what she needs to do. And then he goes on, actually before this in Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10, so I'm kind of doing it backwards here. But he says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Because what he's saying here is godly, good mothers are like diamonds. They're very valuable. Why diamonds are valuable is because there's not many of them out there. You can't go out to the parking lot and pick up four or five diamonds. If you can, this church is something, I tell you. You need to be selling the land. It doesn't work that way. You can find a lot of rocks out there, but you're not going to find many diamonds. Because why? Because they're very scarce. And so when it comes to good godly mothers, it says if you have one, you need to recognize that and give her honor because she is something very special. And so for some of us, we've had very godly mothers. We've had, you know, mothers that have been there. And then for others of us, and I would put myself in this category, we would say, I didn't have a very good mother. And yet I'm supposed to honor her? How am I supposed to do that? Because maybe you feel like that you got a lump of coal for a mother and not a diamond. But the truth is, even a lump of coal has purpose. Even that lump of coal. And I've had to come to terms with that over my life. I felt like that as a kid. Even when I was very young, and I knew that there was something really wrong with my mother and her mental things and her drug abuse and her alcoholism, all those things. You know, and I told you before, I would watch the Brady Bunch in these TV shows, and I would think, that's not how mothers are supposed to be. Now, I didn't have a grandmother and great-grandmother like that, but they were grandmothers. And the only mother that I saw, and the thing that she showed me was that she just really didn't care. And so then you start to think, why did I get stuck with this mother? And I would see my friends, and they would have these mothers that seemed to be mothers that were on top of things and loved them and cared. And that wasn't my story. And I thought, why was I born to this woman at a very young age? I would question that. And so really it comes down to these two things. If you feel like that you're in that category, this is what I've learned. By faith, believe that God does not make mistakes. That's the first thing. God doesn't make mistakes. He says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He says to Jeremiah, and it's no different for each and every person that's on the face of this planet, that if he knew you before you were born, he knows who you're going to be born to. And in that, I believe that he has a plan. Psalm 139, verse 16 says this, you saw me before I was even born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And so when you start to think about this, if you had a bad mother, you start to tell yourself by faith that God had a plan in that. I have had to realize that of all the people on the face of the planet, God had me born to my mother. He had a plan in that. And so I'm going to trust that by faith. I don't understand it all. I don't have all the answers to the questions at this point in my life. And I probably won't on this side of eternity. But I'm going to trust in that. The second thing is, if you've had a bad mother, is by faith believe that God uses imperfect people like our parents to help shape us into the people that he wants us to be. The first thing I'm going to put in my mind is that God doesn't make mistakes. He had me born to this person. And then I realized that this person is not perfect. And there is no perfect person. Years ago, my wife and I went to a marriage conference. And one of the things that the speaker said there is he said that marriage isn't to make you happy. It's there to make you holy. I'll say that again. Marriage isn't there necessarily to make you happy. It's there to make you holy. And what he meant in that is that when you have two people living together that are not perfect and they have to deal with each other and they continue to do that in grace and mercy every day, then you're going to grow into the image of Jesus Christ. Because why? Because you're having to deal with somebody. And it will change you, it will mold you, it will make you into somebody if you allow it to. May not make you happy, but it will make you holy. It will set you apart. And the same thing with children. Having children, if you think that's going to make you happy, that's not going to make you happy. If you think that having children is going to fulfill you in all that your needs, have children. You'll find out real fast they're going to suck the life out of you. And then what are you going to do? Are you going to be like a lot of these women that we have counseled and Stacy's counseled over the years who then decide, you know, this isn't it. This is not making me happy, so I'm done. Or you realize that the parents that I have been given, that is to make me into this. I wouldn't be who I am, good or bad, today without my mother. And with all of her struggles and all her bad decisions and everything that she did, even in that, she taught me so much. Because I watched her and I watched her bad choices and the consequences that came from them. And I learned at a very young age, I do not want to be a part of that. I do not want to live that lifestyle. I grew up in the drug culture. I saw all of it, all the bad things firsthand as a small child. And I saw the consequences that happened to adults and that happened to my mother. And I realized as a small kid, I was like, I don't ever want to be around this. I don't want to be involved with this. Even in that, she taught me things. Now, I'll put this disclaimer out there. Honor does not mean to excuse them for their sin. That's not what I'm talking about. Or to minimize pain that they've caused you. That's not what I'm saying here. It does not require you to honor or obey things that are clearly against Scripture. That's not what it means to honor. And it does not mean that I put myself and others in a situation that is controlling and damaging. I know people who are adults who have their own family, and they have bad mothers, bad fathers. And they choose to not allow their family to be affected by these individuals. You can still honor somebody. You can still honor the position that they're in without putting yourself in a situation where it's going to damage you farther into the future or those people around you. Because why? Because you honor the position that was ordained by God. You can do that without putting yourself in a position to be damaged by these people. So going on today, I want to talk about how do you show your mother honor biblically? And I've got 3 points today that I want to talk about. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one, and these are really most of them from Proverbs. The first one is this: you can give her the gift of a child who is doing right. And when I say child, I was going to change that last night, but I thought, no, I'm going to go with it because I used the illustration last week of our neighbor, and she was 100 years old, and she had her boy that she always called him, and her boy was 85 years of age, and she always called him boy. So it doesn't mean that it's actually a child here. You are still a child to your mother, no matter what age you are. And if you want to give her a gift, it's the gift of a child who's doing right. Proverbs 10:1 says this: a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And I would say this: there is a lot of mothers who are walking around with heavy hearts because of the way that their children are living. Over the years in ministry, my wife and I have talked to so many mothers, and you don't understand this until you are a mother. And I have never been a mother, never will be a mother, there is a special connection you have on with your children, and when your children are going around making bad decisions, it just weighs on you constantly. It's something that's just there. Going on in Proverbs 23, starting in verse 24, it says, "The father of a righteous man has great joy, but he who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." And the point I want to make there is your actions speak loudly, and you are a reflection of your parents and your upbringing. If you want to do something for your mother, instead of, you know, run down to the gas station and find the next thing, maybe, just maybe, throughout that year that I'm going to make a decision to do what's right. I can't believe how that the things that my great-grandmother, and I would call her a mother figure in my life, that she really got on us about, harped on us, I felt like at the time, really felt like that she was being mean about, that I rebelled against as a kid, that now are just ingrained in me, that I just have to do them. I have to. I don't know why, because it's like I can actually hear the voice of her in the background. Like when I'm not doing it, that she's saying, you know, you need to be doing this. And yes, there's small things of just during the day, but it is something that has been ingrained into me. And even though at the time I didn't understand it, I didn't like it, I realized that she had a purpose in that. So in that, first thing is you're going to give your mother the gift of a child who's doing what's right. The second thing is this. You can give her the gift of a child who's following the instructions of a godly mother. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says this, "My son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake your mother's teaching." First of all, a child who is doing the right thing, who realizes that there's some wrong things, there's some things I need to change, but you're following your mother's instruction. I saw this many years ago, and I thought this is probably fitting. This is true when it comes to the advice of a mother. It says, different views of mom. It talks about the 4 years of age, and this child is saying, my mommy can do anything. 6 years of age, my mom knows a whole lot. 12 years of age, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. 14 years of age, mom, duh. And that's probably an understatement. I can think of when our girls used to like roll their eyes. I used to think that they were going to get stuck in the back of their head. They would roll their eyes so hard, you know. 18 years of age, that old woman, she's way out of touch. 25 years of age, well, she might know a little bit about it. 35 years of age, maybe before I decide, I'll get mom's opinion. 45 years of age, wonder what mom thinks about it. 65 years of age, I wish mom was here to talk it over with her. And things change over the years. And so one of the gifts that you can give your mom, if you've had a good biblical mom, is to follow her instruction. And the truth is, a godly mother cares about her child so much, she's, I will call it, mean. That's just the way that she is. It says this in Proverbs 29:15. It says, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." I have to laugh about this because my daughter's here, and of course she's got our grandson. And when my daughter was young, she used to really think that both my wife and I, because I mean, I try to be a cool dad, but you got it, you know, you got discipline. And I think that if you would ask her, she thought we were very strict with her. And now I have to laugh about it because she's more strict than we ever were, you know? Now I'm on the other side of that, and I'm like, you know, I've got a grandson. I'm conflicted because I know he needs to be disciplined, but I just feel for him, you know? And so I got to be careful because I've gotten in trouble with this before because she will discipline him, and then I go over there and I'm like, it's okay, buddy. I'm grandpa's here. That was wrong. Fight the power. She's just keeping you down. I don't want to do that, but then I feel like that, like, man, he's just a little guy. Why so hard on him? And then I realize, as Scripture says, that she is imparting wisdom to him through correction. No matter what grandpa feels. And so I have to be careful when I go over there and try to console him, and, you know, because I'm sending him the wrong message that it's okay and you can keep doing that. Or he will do something with my stuff and then I say, no, he's fine. You know, he can do that. He was over at our house and I had a bunch of tools that were laying in my tool bag, and it was in the house, and he was taking them out, having a good time with them. His mom said no, and I said, no, he's good. He can play with them. And she said, no, he needs to put them back. Yeah, that's the way it is. She scares me now, so I just do what she says. I'm like, okay, we'll put them back. And the third and last point I want to make is this. If you're wanting to give a gift, you can give her the gift of a child who's right with God. Proverbs 30, starting at verse 11, says this. There are those who curse their father and do not bless their mothers. Those who are pure in their own eyes, yet they are not cleansed of their filth. These are people who have grown up in the church, grown up to listening to all the sermons and the things that go on in the house, and they grow up and they say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. That's just a bunch of lies and whatever they'll call it. And they say, I'm going to go do my own thing. And we've talked about it here from the pulpit since I've been here, the prodigal son, they'll go do his thing. Some come back and some never do. They never do. I think I shared this already since I've been here, but I've got a friend who is a pastor. He's actually passed away now of old age, but he has 5 adult children. And of those 5 adult children, he has 2 that you could say that walk with the Lord, that have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have kind of made that lifelong commitment. And most of these kids now are in their 50s and plus. Some are actually in their 70s. And he said 2 of the 5, and he said just they were all raised the same by the same parents, same house, same thing. And he's got one son who is just a strong professing atheist. And he said everybody makes their own decisions. And he said even though that we loved them all the same, raised them all the same, and it was really a burden to him, even to the end of his life. If you're willing to give a gift, give a gift of a person that is right with the Lord, because there are so many mothers out there that weighs on them. And I will say this, if all that fails, mothers, you can use this scare tactic if you want to, because I'm giving this to you. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17 says, the eye that mocks a father and despises a mother's instruction will be plucked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. There you go. Use that on them. Go ahead. Don't listen to mom. But that's what's going to happen. Your eye is going to be plucked out and a bird's going to eat it. You want that to happen? No, mom, not really. Well, then you better listen. And you could use that with your adult children. So really, when it comes down to it, well, what's in it for me? Because as kids, that's all we want to know, really. So if I'm going to honor my mother, then what am I going to get out of this? Because that's really what I want to know. And Scripture speaks about that. It says in God's commandment that it is a dishonor to dishonor a mother, because really what you're doing is dishonoring God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says this, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, of course, this is to the nation of Israel. And so he's saying to them, you need to honor your father and mother. And if you do that, there's going to be good things that are going to happen to you in the land. And you know this to be true. If you have had a good, godly mother who has given you instruction, who has raised you right, and you go the opposite of that, do you think that there's going to be good things in store for you or bad things? Good consequences or bad consequences? And Scripture is very clear in this. If you decide to go against what you know is to be right, there's going to be problems. Because if you're following this instruction, your life is going to be better for it. There is a blessing and a reward that comes from it. That's why it speaks about this in Ephesians chapter 6, as we read. The command is that it will go well for you and that you will have a long life. There's going to be good things that are going to happen to you if you listen to your mother. If you decide to not follow that instruction, who are you going to blame? And unfortunately, a lot of times, that blame goes back to the mother. I will say this. Mothers take a lot of flack. Do you feel like that's true? I saw this picture. It says, as a mother, I can always assume I am guilty of something. I had to laugh about that because my wife says that all the time. When everything kind of falls to pieces, you know who I and my girls blame most of the time? Mom. Even though that we know, I know that it's 100% not her fault, but she's the good, safe person to blame in this. And most of the time, she's the person that says, you know what? I don't like that I'm getting blamed for it, but let's figure this out. And she's the calm head. Why would you allow this to happen? And mothers struggle with a lot of guilt. If you want to give your mother a gift, I was actually going to run this off so you could give it to her. Maybe you need to cut mom some slack, Jack. Okay? Cut her some slack. Because you know what? She deserves it. And why does she deserve it? Because she had to deal with you. Her children were born evil monsters. Look at this picture up here of this kid. This reminds me of our girls. They never did this when they were young. But kids got a Sharpie writing all over brother or sister's face there. Next picture that I found, you've got this kid that's, these boys are into the paint. They're evil monsters. I think of all the things that my brother and I put my grandmother through, because you're probably not going to be shocked by this, but we were very rambunctious boys. That's a nice way to put it, okay? We were very wild, and we broke most of my grandmother's things. She had these figurines that were about this big, and they were porcelain. They were painted all up. She was so proud of them. She had to save for years to buy this collection. And we were throwing a ball in the house one day, and we knocked one over and busted it. So we didn't know what to do, so we set it up. It took us a long time to set it up perfectly, even though it was like in 1,000 pieces. It looked perfect sitting there. And then one day when we got away with this, she decided that she was going to dust, and she moved that thing, and it fell into 1,000 pieces. And we said, "What did you do?" She had this big glass brandy, you know, dish thing. I don't know what she called it. It was this big, and it was like this colored glass. And we were throwing pillows in the house, and we knocked that thing over. We busted it into a million pieces. We just scooped it all up, and we threw it in the trash. But we had to be strategic because we kept it out into the in the doghouse building until the trash guy came that day so we could get rid of it. And I kid you not, it was like 4 months later, and she was sitting there one day, and she said, "Where did that big glass piece go that I had?" And we said, "I had never even seen anything like that in here." And she said, "It was sitting right here on the table." We said, "I don't know." And she asked my grandfather, and he said, "Do we ever have a glass thing there? I don't know." And she said, "It's been sitting there for 30 years. And we said, "Don't know. Never seen it." She thought she was losing her mind. She looked for that thing forever. And of course, we never told her. Cut her some slack, Jack, because she had you as a child. And we're so hard on mothers. And mothers, this is the truth of it. I'm on your side with it, okay? Psalm 51, verse 5 says this. The psalmist says, "I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Before you were ever born, you were a problem to her. And the truth is, mothers, no matter how good the mother is, no kid turns out perfect. Because as Scripture says, and you know this verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So cut her some slack. She had to raise you. And I'll say this, mothers, don't blame yourself, because each child makes their own choices. We actually looked about this weeks ago. I talked about Ezekiel 18, verse 20, and it says, "The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child." In that passage, it talks about that you are not blessed because of your parents. You have to make your own decisions, but you are not cursed because of your parents. But it does get this point across that just because your kids are making bad decisions, that doesn't fall back on you. Yes, you've made mistakes in the past. You didn't raise them perfectly. But I always say with our girls, we did the best that we could do with what we had at the time. as young adults raising kids, we did what we thought we needed to do at the time. I would go back, I would change certain things I wouldn't. And so in that, parents, you're not perfect. Mothers, you're not perfect. When your kids make bad decisions, that's on them, especially as adults. And if you understand even the story of Adam and Eve and the snake and the bad decisions they made, if you want to look at it this way, this is comforting to me. God's first created children, if you want to call them that, listened to bad influence, thought they were smarter than God, they were selfish, they disobeyed, they rebelled, then they tried to hide their sin, and then they blamed the other, they lied, and they blamed God. And that's God's children, if you want to call them that, his creation. And if God had problems with his children, why do you think that yours are going to be perfect? Why do you think that they're not going to make mistakes? And I see that guilt because mothers will watch their kids and they make these bad decisions and they blame themselves. And I have had mothers that have been weeping and speaking to my wife and I and say, what did I do so wrong? What did I do wrong? So cut mom some slack, Jack. When it comes to kids, be patient. She is human. And that means that you're going to see her through the eyes of Christ with understanding and compassion. I did that with my mother. I had to make that conscious decision in my heart and with the Lord and understand that my mother made a lot of bad decisions in her life because of the way that she was raised and the bad decisions that my grandfather made. He was a not good father to her, and it destroyed a relationship with her when she needed a father and a man figure in her life the most, and he wasn't there, and there was very hurtful things that he did there, and that translated on into her life, and unfortunately being a mother. And so I saw her not as a mother who I felt like that was not a good mother, but of a woman that was hurting because of a bad childhood that she had had. Many times God will use the imperfection of others, as I said, to perfect and these imperfections that you have in you. God will use those if we allow that to happen. And I would say to mothers on the other side of this to cut yourself some slack. As I just said, that means that you're going to lean on the grace of God for his forgiveness and strength and acceptance and love. If you're not getting that from your children, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's the way that it is. And that means that you're going to do your best to trust him for the rest. Because the truth is, you'll never please everyone. It's just not going to happen. And so when mothers are starting to beat themselves up and they're saying, you know what? Why are my kids against me? Why are they? Maybe it's things that you have done. Yes, that's true. And you've made mistakes. And maybe that means that you need to own them. And maybe that means that you need to apologize. But I have seen mothers that have done that and kids will not let it go. Yes, you are not a perfect mother. Everybody knows that. There is no perfect mother out there. That is a myth. That is the Brady Bunch. But the truth is that even in that, you can't let your kids hold that guilt against you forever. Years ago, I was talking to a man, and he was probably at the time in his maybe late 30s, early 40s, and he has such a problem with his mother. He causes her so much grief and problems and strife. And his mother is not a perfect woman, but she has been a good mother to him. And I said to him, I said, can you name off? I said, tell me, what is the bitterness rooted in? I said, tell me one of the worst things that your mother has ever done. Let's get this out. Let's get this over. And his mother wasn't sitting there, but he said to me, I can tell you. Because I wanted a starter jacket when I was in high school and she wouldn't buy it for me. And she made me wear clothes from Walmart and Target instead of buying clothes from the Buckle and these places for me. And he said, I hate her. I said, that's really what this is coming down to? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, and I had to drive an old vehicle because my dad was going to buy me this certain vehicle and mom said, no, that he can drive the older one. And he said, and because of that, he's like, I can't stand her. And I want to say, boo-hoo. That's your story? That's what you're holding against your mom for all these years because she didn't buy you a starter jacket when you wanted it? And I told him, I said, and this is really not professional, but I said, I wish I had your mother. I wish I would have grown up having your mother because I know his mother. She would have been the ultimate mother for me to have, you know, and yet this man was saying he just couldn't stand her because of this. That's a guilt, mothers, that you can't put on yourself. So as we close, if you can grasp these truths as we walk away today, God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. And maybe you've had a bad mom, and maybe there's been a broken relationship there. I'm sorry about that. But God doesn't make mistakes in the person he had you born to, just like he did in my life. And the second thing, if you can grasp this, that God has handpicked your mother or your child. Even with your child, even if you say, man, why did I get such a knothead? Why has God put this child in my life? Because it will actually make you more holy. And if you can grasp that, it will transform your relationship. I guarantee you. If you can just grasp these two things and apply them to your life when it comes to relationship with your mother, if you can just put this in there, it will make a difference. Because God doesn't design the parent-child relationship primarily so that we would feel comfortable or like each other, or even get along. He had a higher purpose in mind, and that was to make you into the person he wants you to be. And God actually uses others' limitations or flaws, whatever you want to call them, issues, to grow us, as I said, in godliness. And maybe it's our imperfections which make us so perfect for the other person. I have a strong kind of personality, I guess you would say. And I look back and I think about my life, and if I wouldn't have had a mother who would have been a bad example with the things that she was involved with, I really truly believe as a young man I would have got involved in that stuff. And I had friends that were getting very heavily involved in drugs and getting in trouble and that kind of stuff. And that just wasn't my life. That wasn't what I was choosing. And so those friends who were very close to me, I mean, some of these friends were like brothers to me. We split ways because I didn't want that to be involved in my life. And he came from my friend that I just mentioned, from a very good home. Like, his mother wasn't involved in any of that stuff. Not at all. Not even close to that. And yet he got into a life of that. Me, who I've watched that, I've had to be the adult to my mother. There's no way I'm getting involved in that. And I had to learn that firsthand. I had to watch that every day. I had to walk through that with her. And I learned a lifetime of experience by the time I was a teenager of people who lived that lifestyle and the consequences that came from it. And I wonder if God said, you know what? You're going to have to learn this. And so, boom, this is the person I'm putting you with. This is going to be your mother. And once you start to grasp that, it will change your perspective on your relationship with your mother. So the question I leave you with is this: how can you honor your mother? How can you choose to honor your mother? Let's close the word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the godly mothers that are out there and the mothers that have done so much for their kids. And Lord, we will admit that we are people that take that for granted so much of the time. And so, Lord, I would pray that we would choose to show her honor. I pray that we are individuals, as Scripture says, that will listen to our mother's instruction, that we will be people who do what's right, and we will be people that are walking with the Lord to honor our mothers. And for some of us, Lord, we've talked about here this morning, and I don't know everybody's story and mother out there, but I do know my own personal one, and we have individuals who feel like that they didn't get a diamond or a ruby as a mother, that they got, so to speak, a lump of coal. And yet, Lord, we know that even in those situations that we're going to choose to honor the position of our mother, understanding that you didn't make a mistake. You put us with this woman to be our mother, for us to be her child. And Lord, in that, you had a plan in mind, and we're going to trust in that by faith. And so, Lord, we understand that even those mothers can do tremendous things in our life if we can see it. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the mothers that are here this morning. I pray that you bless them throughout the day and even throughout this next year as they continue to be faithful and doing what they need to do every day to be a mother or grandmother and to be moving forward the next generation. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.